Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
In some of my songs, I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. How are you? It's July 31st, 2012. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43. And it's the last day of July, Good Beer Month, our fourth year of doing that. Thanks to Mayor Bloomberg for giving us a proclamation that July is Good Beer Month. And we've got some of our favorite members of the dynamic New York City craft beer scene on hand today. From the Good Beer Sale, we've got one of the deans of beer in New York City, Ed Barastecki from Mugs Alehouse. How are you, Ed?
Right, how you doing, Jimmy?
Great.
No time, no safe.
And a new member of the Good Beer Seal, Ryan Barker from Adobe Blues on Staten Island.
That's right, new kid on the block.
All right, so we've had a very interesting month. Our friends Sarah and Giancarlo Anese from BeerUnion.net, you guys went around to all 41 Good Beer Seal bars. And what did you think of the July Good Beer Month as a general happening, and how do you think it represents the good beer bars in the city?
We thought it was great, especially going around to all 41 of them and see how different they are in all the different neighborhoods, what they have to offer. So we thought it was great, and there were some great events like the Hop Fest and
the book blog and video.
So you think that Brooklyn or Manhattan has better craft beer bars?
Brooklyn, definitely.
We live in Brooklyn, so we love it.
Or Staten Island.
Actually, we were definitely proven wrong on Staten Island. We definitely didn't want to go.
Right.
But it's got some great bars.
Yeah, great bars.
Yeah. We were eating our words on that one, for sure.
You got on Staten Island, you guys had a champion, Mark Zappizzotti.
Yeah, we did.
Who he's a writer and a home brewer from Staten Island. He just moved to Massachusetts.
He did. I know. We miss him.
So you had your champion. He got you in.
Yeah, exactly. And then he skipped town.
So let's talk. You're one of the newest members of the Good Beer Seal, Ryan. How did you get involved in the beer scene, and when did you start working at Adobe Blues?
I started at Adobe 3.5 years ago, I think. I worked in the music industry for about 10 years and decided that I had enough of that. So had off and on bartended for, I don't know, 15 years maybe. So that was, you know, the natural thing to skip back into. Landed at Adobe Blues. It was the closest place to my house, so it was the place I stopped. They hired me. About a year and a half later, I became the manager and took it from there.
Well, we visited you this spring, and I couldn't believe all the great beers you had. You had Evil Twin. You had some McKellar.
Yeah.
You had all the cult favorites.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. Are you the person responsible for ordering the beer and picking the beer list?
Yeah, that all falls on me, wrangling the beer list, researching what's out there, ordering it, seeing if I can get it. You know, I go fishing a lot for stuff, you know, that there's, you know, one keg, and maybe it'll come and maybe it won't. And, you know, you just cross your fingers and, you know.
What are some of the beers on draft that you have now that you think would be worth traveling to Staten Island to try?
Right now we have Allagash Bourbon Black, which actually probably will kick tonight. I have no idea who drank it all.
That usually happens, doesn't it?
What are you going to do? Coming up after that.
That's why he's got a black shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Coming up after that, I think we have two old Goliath Imperial Coffee Stout, which I'm looking forward to trying. What else? Stillwater Capstuce is going to be coming up. Right now, I also have St. Bernardus Tokyo, which is pretty cool. It's a wit beer. St. Bernardus is a Belgian brewery. They opened a brewery in Japan.
So you grabbed that one.
Sorry. It's all timing.
It's amazing. I mean, there's so many good places to get beer in the city, and so many breweries, and yet so many of the selections that we want are really hard to get.
Right.
You know,
right.
What's going on? What do you think, Ed? I mean, there's more breweries than ever, and yet sometimes I feel like that the collectibles are harder and harder to get.
This being my 20th year, I've seen New York go from crap, and I don't even know if I can use that word, but I'm using it as far as the beer scene is concerned, till where it is now, where I'm calling it chaos. It's actually become so mad to even get beer, because you guys know as well as I know who are purchasing them, know that, like you just mentioned, that there are barrels that show up, there's one or two of them, and everybody's out there trying to get it, you know, and whoever's, I guess, the best man wins at that point. But that's been my approach too, because I mean, I've been around for so many years, as well as you, and you know the business, and now you're trying to grab all these little things that are these little beauties that are showing up. I don't know what to say about it anymore. I really do. I've talked to distributors about it. I think it's total, like, not to call it chaos, but it really is. You have to approach it that way. And like you mentioned, it's a lottery. If you're lucky, you grab it at that point, and it shows up, and you're, you know, jumping up
and
in the air.
What beer did you bring for us?
This is actually the 10th anniversary Stone Ruination. There's 6 kegs in New York. We're going to be pouring this on Tuesday with Dennis from Stone at Mugs. It's an unbelievable. Ruination is one of my favorite beers. I'm an IPA. I'm a hophead. My wife calls it poison. All right, so I just gonna my bartenders know at the bar. It's like, we've got poison up, and to me, it's not poison. It's actually I've tried this afternoon, and it was unbelievable, and I can't wait to try it on draft next week. So I've got the Stone 10th anniversary. It's a 10.5% beer right now, and I can understand the guys from Rockaway looking at it when I pour the whole mason jar full for everybody, but. You know, I'm Polish.
So, well, in terms of like one thing I like to do is I love to meet the new small breweries as they're coming
exactly.
up and get a good relation with them, because that is definitely one way to keep getting, you know, your favorite beers. And we have Ethan Long and Marcus Burnett from Rockaway Brewing. So you guys just got licensed, and welcome to the New York City beer community.
How you doing, Jimmy?
Hi, Marcus. I heard a lot about you. I heard way back when you were just trying to get started, a friend of ours, Rich, who's a caterer, said he was looking at beer systems with you. And, you know, I know you've been out at the Rockaways for a while. What got you interested in opening a brewery?
I think there's just, as the conversation was just going on, there's a real lack of craft brews in New York City. So Ethan and I started homebrewing, and slowly we decided, you know, our beer, we thought our beer was good. We like to drink our beer. So we thought, wow, let's start a microbrewery.
And little did we know how much work it actually is to do a brewery. We've flown over that cliff and now are treading water happily. But it's exciting. But it's amazing how much work it is. You think, you know, as a home brewer, hey, I'm going to just get to brew all the time and be doing my thing with the recipes. And then there's all the paperwork, there's the government, there's the nuances of ordering.
Where can we try your beers right now?
We're serving at Far Rockaway, 96th Street on the beach at the Low Tide Bar.
Nice. And what styles of beer do you have right now?
We brought for you tonight too. We brought an ESB, which is kind of our signature beer that we've been working on for a few years now. That's kind of our front runner. And then we also, for a special treat, brought a porter for a recipe we're working on for the fall, so we're kind of that one.
Jimmy, I got the magic bus. We could go there right after this.
All right. Hey, we're actually going to Good Beer. This is the final event of July Good Beer Month. It's the fourth year of Good Beer. It's produced by Edible Manhattan, Edible Brooklyn, and always hats off to them because they do a great job. So Sarah and John, it's John Carlo, man. You guys really, you blew me away. We're just doing a little intro right now, setting the stage for the rest of the show, but you guys blew me away. You came to me and said you wanted to go visit all 41 of the Good Beer Steel bars. You took pictures, did a short summary. What was that like getting around the city? I mean, and you visited 41 bars in 1 month.
Yeah, we did.
I'm sure it's been done before in some form, but to me it's unprecedented.
Well, it was really fun. It was a lot of work. But it was just, it was a really great way to see the city, which is what I didn't anticipate before doing this. Just going to the outer boroughs and really seeing what's going on there.
So if I was coming into town this weekend, because I know you had your favorites too. Yeah. If I was coming into town this weekend and I wanted to check out some of the Good Beer Seal bars, give me a short tour. Where should I go? Like a 2-day, Saturday and Sunday.
We really liked the Diamond in Greenpoint. That was one of our favorite bars, just for the overall experience there. We loved Spoit and Doivel, so that's a good place to start in the
Greenpoint.
Can
you say that again?
Spoit and Doivel.
I've never heard anyone pronounce it that way.
I don't know.
How is it?
Is that right or wrong?
We say Spite and Doivel, but
Spite
I think
and
you're right.
Okay.
Spoit and Doivel.
All right. Well,
phonetically.
Either way, that's a great Greenpoint. Williamsburg is a good place to start. And then if you want to get out into the outer boroughs, Staten Island was great too, to just kind of see how different it is. If you have a good way to get there,
a car, yeah, definitely,
and somebody to drive you.
Yeah,
Kilmeyer's was a completely different experience than you get at a lot of the other bars.
I mean, we felt going into it like we were just like in Germany or Austria. It was just like a complete, you know, different vibe than any other bar in the city.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the south of Staten Island is almost like you're in the country practically.
Yeah, definitely.
And you have to drive about half an hour.
Yeah. Have you been there? It was like an hour.
Have you been there, Ed? Have you been down to, you got to talk into the mic. Have you been to Kilmeyer's in Staten Island?
Probably years ago. Yeah. I don't know how long they've been there, but I've been to a lot of places, and I am aged with 4 kids. I don't really get to go out. So, but maybe Jimmy, me and you, we can make a little beer tour here, you know?
We did it, but I'll do it again.
I know, but yeah. We can always do that.
What we're trying to say is about New York is that New York has a real dynamic craft beer scene. We've got these great new people like Ryan, who's running a bar in Staten Island, Ed, who's the dean of beer.
Well, not dean, but I have to really applaud all the youngsters. I'm going to call them youngsters because a lot of these guys are young. You know, they're coming into this business. I mean, I was young when I opened up my first place, and it was an experience for me, and I'm sure it is for everybody out there. But, you know, I think that they are lucky now because they have a lot more out on the table for them to pick and choose from. So I think it's great for New York. I used to hate what we used to have in New York. We had nothing. I remember Rogue being in New Jersey and I'm calling some distributor in New Jersey, can I get Rogue over here in New York? No, we can't come to New York. But, you know, now we've got so much beer in New York and I think it's great. There's a lot to be spread out and I love the fact that there are so many multi-tap bars now. It's like nobody's really pouring a lot of, I mean, you still got crap on tap out there, but, you know, the brunt of them are pouring very good beer, as you heard before. As our gentleman here stole beer from me.
St. Bernard is Tokyo.
I'm
all right.
Well, that's with age. Wow. That comes with age. That comes with age.
Hey, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with more talk and some questions on Beer Sessions Radio.
So I could love you twice as much as I do. I'd have 4 loving arms to embrace you. 4 eyes to idolize you each time.
You're listening to I Wish I Were Twins by Plexophonic.
What couldn't 4 lips do when 4 ears hear you say that I'm yours? Da-da-dum. I wish that I were twins, you great big babykins, so I could love you twice as much as I do. I I were twins. You great big baby kings. So I could love you twice as much as I do. I'd have four loving arms to embrace you. Four eyes to idolize you each time I face you. With two hearts twice as true, what couldn't
fall? Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're out here at Roberta's in Bushwick. Heritage Radio Network is now a 501c3. You can donate. You can become a member. Go to heritageradionetwork.org. So we're in the studio with some great people from New York City beer scene. Ryan Barker from Adobe Blues, Ed Barastecki from Mug's Ale House, and Sarah and Giancarlo from beerunion.net. And we're about to taste some Rockaway Brewing, a new brewery here in New York. Ethan Long from Rockaway. Where are you guys making beer? Do you have a brewery?
We do. We have a small two-barrel brew house. It's small, and I guess the technical word is a nano brew, as I tend to joke about. But it's a nice small system. We're in Long Island City, right behind the Pepsi sign that you see off the East River there.
Oh,
so
really?
It's there was an old meatpacking plant that had the old tiled floors and the walk-in coolers. So we set up shop in what was the boning room. So we have the tracks that come in for where they used to wash out the kegs. That's our keg washing room. So we have a nice little setup there. It's for us it was a good space to be because I have my other business is right on the same block. So our landlord is being supportive of the aspect. Gave us this space as a good spot since they weren't doing anything with it, and brewery seemed to work well in an old meatpacking plant.
Great. Will people be able to go to your brewery and taste beer?
We don't have a tasting room, but we are going to be doing hopefully growler sales. We have our retail permit for beer to go in the growlers and containers. So hopefully September those will start rolling out the door, so you can show up on the Fifth Street side of the plant there. It's like corner of 5th and 46th Avenue is where the brew house is.
Ryan, as a beer bar owner, how do you go about trying out or bringing in a new brewery? Like, would you order this beer and serve it in your bar, or would you ask them to come taste you, or what would you do?
Of course. I mean, there's a lot of little, or not a lot, but there's a handful of small breweries that are self-distributing, which, being in Staten Island, makes it hard, because nobody wants to drive one keg of beer to Staten Island. Like, that's your whole day. You know what I mean? But we definitely, work with distributors on small stuff. Something new, I always want to grab and try it out. We love doing that. That's a lot of what it's about, getting people to keep brewing, like supporting those breweries, getting people to drink the new breweries, know where they're from. Like, a new local brewery, that's awesome. Like, that's something I can talk about in the bar.
Marcus, let's geek out a little bit with you. Okay. So you're the brewer?
No, we both brew.
You both brew together.
I'd say that Ethan does most of the recipes, and we then collaborate on how to come to the final product.
So, all right. So tell us about this beer.
This is a beer that's inspired by the Red Hook ESB. Which when we were both homebrewing originally, we both looked at all the different beer types and we thought, wow, Red Hook ESB is really what we used to love to drink for some reason.
Yeah, so I was going to say it harks back to our days of being in San Francisco and college.
The original or the one that was...
The original. I remember being in New York and you couldn't get Red Hook on the East Coast before it started being made in New Hampshire. And I always would make homages out to San Francisco and get my Red Hook on tap at the Uptown Bar.
So our ESB is sort of, we think it's a really smooth drinking beer. It's not real hoppy. It sort of has a very sort of round finish, and it's not very, it's different than a lot of beers. I think a lot of people are going hop, 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 hop now, and this is just like a really smooth drinking beer. I know that maybe you
know
buy
that
beer.
We just killed everybody's palate here. This song, so.
You should have started with this one and then moved.
This is nice.
Yeah, thank you.
It is very good. It is really good.
It's fresh.
I think it's a little light colored for ESB, but
yeah,
it may be just the light in here. I'm not.
And
sure.
What kind of malts do you use?
These are like there's a Victory in Vienna, and then it's kind of a backbone of American Two Row as a standard.
And then Crystal.
and a little bit of crystal, just for, you know, probably the color is probably affected by the crystal a little bit. Well, we're you know, we've been repeating this recipe for a long time, but we're
it's tasty though, I think, you know. And I'm like, again, before, I'm a hop head, so this is actually very good. I would pour this at Mugs if I could get a barrel of it
at Mugs. if you can get a line at Mugs, because you've got all these great new stuff. It's like you have a two-tier system. You get all the great new stuff, then you also got legacy beers, like Anchor Liberty on draft that I never had before.
We keep a standard set. When we opened up Mugs, we had 8 draft lines. We expanded to 16 and so on and so on. And we get a bunch of people that like their Liberty. I was a Liberty guy. Now, forget it. My palate's shot. After drinking all the hops that I've had in my lifetime, it's like I can't go back to Liberty. I used to love Liberty. It was one of my favorite beers. But there, we still do have a following of Anchor Liberty fans, and they show up, and we have it up all the time. So we do have like a standard set of 8 that we always do, and then we rotate everything else.
Okay, this is a question. Bear with me. Okay, John Siegel, whose family owns the Siegel Siegel Hops Ranches up in Pacific Northwest. Before that, they were a longtime New York State hop growers. He told me that his father had developed an original hop strain. I think it was Cascade, and one of the first breweries to use it was Anchor Liberty. That was one of the first beers that featured it.
Well, I mean, you know, if you think back, I think they were really the ones that had the hoppiest beers. I'm not a historian as far as it comes to hops, but I mean, when you look back, I think that Liberty beer was a transition beer for a lot of people getting into hoppy, bitter beers. And at that point, it was a bitter beer. Now, it really, you know, people have taken it to whatever factor.
Well, we just planted a whole series of Cascade hops out in the Rockaways. We
really?
Through the Cornell program for the Fresh Cut New York. We brought in 50 plants and have put them in a community garden out in Rockaway, and then started our own little empty lot community garden of hops. Obviously, there won't be enough to produce any beer from immediately, but we went with all Cascade for the Rockaways. So, since you guys were talking Cascade,
well, so when you grow your own hops, how do you process them with your beer? Do you just put them in fresh? Do you try to dry them?
Last year, when we had a small harvest, we did a special batch with just fresh hops. We're not trying to be hop producers yet, so mostly it's for learning curve. But we use them selectively for, you know, probably either run them through a hop gun and kind of or put them in the secondary and kind of dry hop the beer.
I have a question for you. How do you do cooperage? That's one thing I've always been curious about, the smaller breweries. How do you handle cooperage as far as your kegs and things like that? No, do you send them out and expect an empty to come right back, or how do you handle that? Because I've been curious about that.
We're in that learning curve right now.
Okay.
We're too small for someone like MicroStar because we don't produce enough to be able to have, you know, 1,000 coming around. We've had to buy all our own for now, so we're very protective since we are self-distributing.
It's, so when it goes, it has to come back.
Come back, yes. All right.
Yeah, we come around to pick up the keg. We call, hey, is that keg empty? We're going to come pick it up. We got to refill the beer.
So we're working out the calculation of how many we need for every tap we have. You know, there's calculations out there. You need 4 or 5, but we're getting our head around, you know, who's actually going to bring them back to us or who's going to give them back to us.
You got to remember, we're very small. Two-barrel system, we produce 4 barrels a week, which is only 8 kegs.
I dealt with a nano brewery, and I lost one of their kegs, and I almost got crucified for it. So
who is
I
this?
No, I'm not going to mention any names.
Well, I know the guys at Barrier Brewing. You know, they used to come to me. They still come to me every week, but they were real serious about keeping tabs on their kegs.
Who?
Barrier Brewing.
Who?
they're the success story. I mean, I think that hopefully they're inspiring you guys because, you know, just last year they won Best Brewery in New York on a 1-barrel system,
right.
And now they've expanded to a 5-barrel system.
Yeah, we went out and looked at it a couple weekends ago and hung out and talked to Evan, and, you know, potentially we might hopefully pick up a couple of his 1-barrel fermenters so we can put that in our.
I mean, this is exciting to me, seeing you guys do, you know, nano brewing. That's exciting because I can also, like, I know what goes in your beer and the love. I want more. How about that?
Oh.
You didn't bring any more?
No, we got plenty more.
Let's have a refill. How about that?
It's good, right? It's good,
yeah.
Beer. It's really good. It's just fresh, simple beer.
Can I ask a question? Because I'm curious about this. As an old timer, seeing the whole brew pub scene go up and down in New York,
What is like a five barrel system cost these days, or like do they have monoblock systems or things like that? Because at one point at Muggs, we were contemplating on doing a three barrel system, and when I got the BATF forms, I just said forget it. And I went to a brewers conference and I saw the equipment, and the pricing back then was crazy. So I'm just curious.
Yeah, it's expensive. I think that stainless steel has just gone through the roof,
right?
As a material, so. Now all the stuff that's inexpensive is all from China. So stuff that's made in Canada, for instance, is like it's about 40% more. So if you want American or Chinese made or American or Canadian made, it costs you a fortune.
American-Chinese.
So almost everybody gets Chinese right. systems now, and it's pretty expensive. I mean,
do they still have like three barrel monoblock systems and things like that? I mean, what?
Yeah.
Back then, a three barrel monoblock, I don't remember from where, you know, I don't remember what region it came from, but I remember it being like $100,000 to $110,000 on the average.
Mm-hmm.
So just curious if that's still the pricing.
We looked at that. The thing is, we didn't go with glycol jacketed fermenters. Okay. So that's the difference. Is we're really still we worked out our formula where we, as Barrier did, a way to do it on a small scale that doesn't require glycol jackets, and therefore we saved a lot of money.
Right.
That's that huge system is really
so we live off of our walk-in cooler, which we have rooms built off of it. It's you know it's kind of our lifeline.
Understandable.
So we got our first barrels on Craigslist from Oregon. This guy was selling them.
That was the ProBrewer.com.
Oh right.
But he was still.
So that's a good site to check out, probrewers.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have classifieds. They have you can find cooperage, you can find other, you know, people selling parts, selling whole systems, selling, you know, all sorts of things and advice. So we found a guy out in Oregon who had actually was teaming up with somebody to put a thing together and purchased the equipment, waited his 8 months for it to be made. When it showed up in the crate, his partner backed out. He put it up for sale, so to short-circuit the waiting 6 to 8 months, we bought it from him.
You're on the radio, guys, and you can't see, but this guy, Ethan Long from Rockaway, he looks like a young Danny Myers, our great New York restaurateur. He kind of does, doesn't he?
Is that a good thing?
Well, my wife is a chef. She'll appreciate that. So.
All right, so you're looking at the color, color and the cloudiness. Now, the thing is, we do not actually filter our beer.
Good.
We transfer out of first fermenter into cold storage, and we chill it down for 4 to 5 days. We let the yeast settle out, and then we transfer from the bright there. So it's going to have all the proteins. It's going to have all of the beer.
I actually like that. I wasn't looking at it.
So it's. I see you going like, yeah, it's kind of murky. I'm not sure I want to drink this.
Actually, I was looking at the color.
Well, yeah. Marcus and I have this back and forth because he's always.
That to me is more of an ESB color, and for some reason in the mason jar, it's actually.
It is amazing when you take the volume, like smaller volume,
right, exactly.
How the light changes.
That's the only thing I was looking at. I think it looks delicious, and it actually tastes delicious.
That's what these guys. So, Sarah and Giancarlo, you guys went to 41 bars in 30 days.
Yeah.
So, tell us, you know, weigh in on this. What do you want to tell us about Rockaway Brewing?
This is a pretty tasty beer.
Yeah.
Really enjoying this beer. It's nice
thank you.
Smooth.
This would have been probably one of the beers we went back to if it was available.
Yeah, definitely.
At the bars that we went
to.
Were there certain beers that you saw popping up in the same different bars?
Yeah.
Carton Boat.
So a lot of Carton Boat.
Yeah.
A lot of Barrier.
Bronx
Pale Ale.
Yeah.
We had a lot of... So there were some themes throughout.
These are our go-tos. Yeah. Definitely.
Well, that's good. It shows a healthy New York City beer scene. Yeah. And Ryan... just give us some feedback on these guys. You like this beer?
I think this beer is really good. Like, it's super drinkable, you know? Like, it's not super high in alcohol. You could knock a few of these back.
What is it?
6.2.
6.2? Really?
It is a little higher than you think it would be, like 5.5, but like...
Right.
I'll taste it.
Yeah. I get fresh off the stock sweet corn. Like in the smell and a little bit of that sweetness in the taste, and I think it's incredible.
We really wanted to kind of accentuate the
I like it.
The malt characters there. There's kind of it, you know, yeah. As I always said from the beginning, was the recipe was kind of going back and forth. There's that point where it's in the front of your mouth to the back of your mouth, and we kept pushing it till it was kind of back and forth. It was what we were talking about on the way over. How is it? Have we made it to the point when we do each brew? Did it make the trip?
So who do you think drinks more beer? Do bar owners drink more beer or brewers? Ed, Marcus, come on.
It's about variety.
We had to make, I refuse to question. Answer that question.
We had to make a rule.
Exactly.
Yeah. We had to make a rule at the brewery that we could not drink beer until at the end of the brew, we had the brew. It was, the beer had to be flowing into the fermenter before we had our first beer. Otherwise, we'd screw up the whole recipe.
There'd be these late nights where we'd be doing
any beer baths,
and we'd be drinking and talking, and all of a sudden there would be like a mistake, and I was like, "All right, no drinking until."
You know, one thing I love about being in a brewery, especially a small brewery, is just after you guys have had whatever it's called, the wort, and you get to first taste it, like when it's just like tea, mm-hmm. It's like barley tea, warm barley tea. I love that. Do you taste at that stage?
We've actually been saving some of that to try to come up with a drink with it, because we've been drinking it at the brewery while we're brewing, because it's kind of refreshing. It's like a nice kind of barley tea.
Just to answer
you said.
Your question, you drink while we're brewing.
We drink that because it's non-alcoholic at that stage.
But it's a great way to appreciate your beer. You know, it's kind of sweet and malty, and it's warm, and it is barley tea.
Yeah, some people don't like. I love when taking the gravity of the beer, and like I always kind of do a little taste. And there's so many characters you can get in it, and people are like, it doesn't really taste like. Yeah, I don't get the beer, but you're like, I love that moment of tasting the characters when you're doing the gravity, because it's kind of interesting.
Can we try the porter? Because I actually haven't had a porter in a long time, and I'd really love to try one of those.
Okay, yeah. I brought that for the night. This is a recipe we're working on for the fall. I actually call it my salt porter. It's
this is a test recipe.
This is a test recipe that. I'll stand up and get some.
You know, Ed, you have an awesome voice. You don't even need to talk into the microphone, bro. But you know who drinks the most? It's not brewers and it's not barners. Guess who it is? It's
bloggers.
Well, it's our producer Bree, and it's the beer reps. Now, the big secret in the scene, since we're covering while Ethan's going to pour us some porter, is that some of the beer reps in the city come to Jimmy's Number 43 as early as 11:30 some days.
Great
and
brewers.
They sit down, they put their orders in. And they drink beer. So if any of you want a real job, get a job as a beer rep. Because if you like beer, then they're always around beer. But I think they only drink beer at my place.
I'm too old.
Because do you let your beer reps drink for free?
I throw them out.
Or do you make them pay?
I don't even let them in. I throw them out.
You don't even let them in. What about you, Ryan?
They
know. Do you let beer reps drink beer for free, or do you make them buy beer?
No, they gotta buy. Wow. Although, you know.
That's why they're drinking at your place, too.
Yeah, right. I mean,
at
11:30.
Actually, you know what? Sorry. Since you said that, we'll all send them to you.
Yeah, right.
We'll just get rid of them.
Yeah.
Go to Jimmy Carbone's. Yeah.
That's cool. How I get the specialty beers. So that's the secret.
I don't know. He's got a decent lineup there. I don't know. And it's in Staten Island. So.
Exactly.
All right. Well, hey, we're right now, Ethan's pouring off some porter that we're going to try. We'll take another short break, and we'll be back again on Beer Sessions Radio.
Every night, you'll hear crooning of a Russian lullaby. Just a plaintive little tune when baby starts to cry.
You're listening to Russian Lullaby Rock-a-bye, by Plexiphonic.
My baby, somewhere there may be a land that's free for you and me and a Russian lullaby.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. What, no drop today? We'll have to tell you about heritageradionetwork.org. It's a 501c3. You can donate or join as a member. Go to heritageradionetwork.org. There's some secret things coming up. I don't know if I should tell you, but we're actually going to be doing producing a beer festival on the Rockaways September 8th, and hopefully you guys can come out and try the Rockaway beer.
David has been.
More information will be available at, I guess, goodbeerseal.com, which is always the site for all things cool beer. And also September 9th, there may be, I think there is, a heritageradionetwork.org fundraiser party at Roberta's. So a lot of cool things coming up. Make it through Labor Day, and we'll be back in New York. I'm having so much fun today. We are drinking this awesome beer from this great new brewery. I'm adding you to the list of my new favorite small breweries, guys. I don't know. Let's try this porter. And Ed? feedback. You're a master taster. Let's get Ryan. Ryan's our junior master taster.
Oh, geez.
And Ed's our master taster.
He's got a younger brain. Let him answer this question first. I'll let him get
I got to taste the beer first.
Yeah, good.
Ooh, I've got a question for Ed. Ed, I've got a question for you. So if we have these beers, and we have a few of them. If we want to bring them around to you guys all buy beer from local breweries. How do we get our beers on tap? Like, what's the secret?
You knock on the door, say, hello, Ed. No, I mean...
Well, the first thing is this. You say you're making your own beer and you're not contracting your beer, you'll get in the door. If you're contracting your beer, then you're in a league of murky clouds that, you know, it's
contract brewing now has become like, you know, I mean, anybody can contract brew. But, I mean, like a nano brewery, I really appreciated, and one of the first nano breweries in New York, which was Barrier, and I'm going to mention that, and that was the run-in.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, but I kind of screwed up. I lost his keg, and I was on the whatever list that you want
to call back,
it.
Win him back, Ed. Win him back.
And then I was done. So I don't know if I should be telling you this because you're going to want me to pour your beer, but I will mark it up with tape and say, hey, don't give this to any distributor in New York. I don't know. I would love for nano breweries to show up at Mugs and say, hey, you know, pour us. Because I think that when I think back when I was starting out and I was like, you know, you always want to help each other out. And for me, I would love for somebody like you guys to show up and say, hey, pour us. The only thing is, I mean, if we pour you and it pours well, it's great. But if it doesn't pour well, then, you know, then you've got to look at us and say, well, you know, maybe it is the place for you. It's not. I don't know.
Meaning the beer has to be good.
It's a competitive market, my friend.
Isn't
That's
it
why
good?
I never put it that three barrel like system good. In because I got talked out of it because they said, how are you going to compete with all these beers? If you're not going to be brewing up to that caliber, how can you compete with like the Rogues and the Anchors?
Let's talk
blah,
about
blah,
this
blah,
beer. This porter, it's like almost licorice tar. It's an most unusual porter I've ever had.
Thank you, Jimmy. That's exactly what I was going to say.
I was battling the dark and the sweet with it. There's, you know, there's enough sugars in there that to kind of overwhelm it. But then
this is licorice tar, isn't that? That's not a bad. No, you know, there's some character to it.
This is a test batch.
This is. All right. So it's gonna. So your feedback would be, you know, helpful. Because
you know, my favorite porter style is the Adnams Broadside. Have you ever had it?
Mm-mm.
Come to my place. We have some bottles. A couple bottles that I've stashed away. Adnams is like that great old English brewery that in England it still serves cask. And and Ray Dieter at DBA in the 90s, that was he only had Adnams on cask. And that's when I fell in love with cask beer. But things like Adnams stand out. And I haven't gotten their cask in a while, but they just came with a shipment in the spring of some bottles. And the Adnams Broadside, it's everything a porter should be. It's got a maltiness. It's I can't say more than that, but you got to try it.
Right. Well,
it's a standard. Have you had it, Ed? The Adnams Broadside?
I've never had that one. But I'll tell you, I've tried a lot of domestic porters. And like when he just poured this one, I was looking at him like, you know, he's got the head. I love that tannish color head on there, and I love the color of the. I think it actually is very good.
I like it too.
It's just a tweak on a lot of different things. It's not your traditional porter. I mean, I like a porter that's got a lot of roastiness, a lot of, I don't know, the malt there and everything else. But this actually, I think would work, actually. Well, I think we could pour this at Mugs, and I think people would like it. So.
The one thing that I was really nervous about with this was how to get the right quantities. I have actually espresso salt in there to
Oh, there is salt. That's salt. What it is.
That's why I called it a salt porter. So
yeah.
that salt kind of coats your mouth and makes you, it's like, so getting that push of where the right amount was. So with this batch, it was like kind of finding that right amount. So the next time we'll probably refine a little bit more, but it was, you know.
It's sometimes people take license, like we're used to having people take license with stouts. You know, there's all types of stouts, milk stouts, chocolate stouts, espresso stouts. And with porter, I don't see that many porters, but I almost want people to make traditional porters just so I can taste what it would have been like.
Yeah.
I mean, porters, you know, years ago, porters, you never tasted a bad porter. It was a style that was there. It existed. And you had a following. Not everybody was a porter fan. I mean, you had stout fans, you had IPA fans, you had other people. But the porter, for me, I always liked it. But you never tasted a bad one. And I don't think to this day I've ever tasted a real bad one. I don't think so. There may have been one that fell through the cracks, but I don't think so. And I used to call it a safety style, like a safe style. It's like, all right, you want to brew a porter, all right, fine. But now, you know, there are so many. I would love. I mean, I actually am digging this.
I'm digging it too.
I am actually digging this. I have to say, because
it's salty. Yeah.
Well, it's different. It's a different take on a porter,
more,
and
right?
You know, because I mean, you've got malty porters, you have roasty porters, you have coffee porters, you have imperial porters. Now, you know, everything's going. So, I mean, this is definitely a different twist on it, and I think, you know, you may have people that would really pound this down, because what's the ABV on this?
I'm not sure. I don't know yet. So I'm still working on it.
We'll find out tonight.
Yeah. This is like your test batch. So do you make the test batches in the two barrel systems, or do you make like a homebrew system?
No, this is on a homebrew. It's like, I wanted to start the ball rolling, because, you know, when we were first getting going, we had our half barrel system. We were brewing in beyond our bungalows out in Rockaway, doing stuff all the time. And now that we've been in the brew house with the two barrel system, it was kind of a relief and kind of nice to be able to go out on the weekend and you know.
So when did you brew in the bungalows in Rockaway, or did you do other things in the bungalows? What were you doing in the bungalows? I mean, you can't brew in the bungalows, right?
On the backside, we have our whole rig on the backside? On the backside of the house. There, right. It's like,
I like that on the backside.
Well. Ryan, do you want to say anything about porters? Do you have any porters at Adobe Blues?
Yeah, we do have porters. And I really like a porter. I don't think porters get a whole lot of play. It's definitely not a style that we go through. It's definitely not. I mean, even in the colder months, you know, when you think it's going to pick up, it doesn't. We have a beer club, you know, that goes by style. So, you know, porter is one of the styles. So we go through them that way. But I don't think we have any. I don't think we have anybody that comes in and is like, man, I could just really use a porter right now.
They need to try the Adnams Broadside.
Right, and there are some really good
ones out
there.
I think there's like two cases in New York. So.
Right, there are some really good ones out there. One of my favorite beers at the place right now is Pripp's Carnegie Porter, which is incredible, incredible beer. And I, you know, recommend it to people, and everybody likes it. But again, no one's coming in and... Oh, I'm dying for a porter.
And Finland, porters used to be my go-to.
Cinnabershoff is a great.
That's right. Cinnabershoff. Coffee.
We actually have gotten requests for porters. It's funny. It's like you do get people that come in and look for porters. And the one I was going to mention to you, since you mentioned that other one from Ray, is the Entire Butt Porter. Remember that one? I haven't seen that in a while.
Ridgeway.
Remember that one?
Yeah, right. Santa's Butt. Yeah. Yep.
It was called Entire Butt, I think, or something. It was some crazy name. I remember. It was like, I looked at this and I'm like, we're going to put this, like, you know.
Don't put butt, but then butt referred to like the size of
barrel
or
whatever
something.
It is. It's supposed to be barrel.
Don't put a butt on your beer label.
I think you make a good point, though. I think it's a good gateway beer.
Yeah, totally.
You know, like, even a bad porter is not offensive. You know what I mean? Like, it's always going to be pretty drinkable. It's always going to be a little roasty. It's always going to be, you know, like it's a very approachable style when you're stepping away from Guinness or whatever macro.
Yeah.
As brewers, is it hard? Is porter a hard style to make compared to others?
No, it's probably
a general question, but.
No, I mean, that's probably why I wasn't doing a stout. I mean, the porter seemed kind of a nice intro for a dark fall beer that we could tweak with, you know, something simple to kind of to our taste. So I found it was, we'll see. It might prove to be more challenging as I get into the fall and I try to, you know.
I definitely would like to try this, you know, just as a test batch, even if you had it drop off a sixth and say, hey, let's see what people think of this. Because I'm curious about this, because this definitely is a tweak on porter that I haven't tasted. I've never tasted.
And the salt in it is interesting.
Yes. Yeah, no, it definitely is. And to me, it's something, a tweak on a porter that I haven't had before.
It gives it a nice mouthfeel, and I think it stretches the flavor out a little bit. It's It's cool.
Well, funny thing about salt was, you know, salt was originally kind of came into play after Prohibition, when the American brewers, they were using cheaper products. There was like the corn fillers and the rices, and the salt was added as a way to kind of emphasize the flavor that they didn't have,
right,
to kind of make it go further. So you look into the history of it, it's like, well, don't use salt in your beer. That was kind of a negative. And I was like, well, you know, it could also be a positive, which, you know, it's like kind of offset some of those darker chocolatey flavors.
All right. Let's make a toast to Rockaway Brewery. You guys are awesome.
Definitely. Yeah.
Welcome to the scene and congratulations. And we'll do a
thank you for having us here.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
Hey. Let's do a quick talk around what's going on coming up at your bar, Ryan.
Anything you know about? We're doing Christmas in July, even though it's the last day of July. So, you know, have some good dark Christmas beers up right now in bottles. So we'll run through those. We do a little event. Last year was the first year, so we'll be gearing up for that. It's called Brewery Appreciation Day.
And when's that?
That'll be in November. So we got a little time. You got a little time to make your plans for that one. But I'm getting ramped up for it now just to, you
but
know.
But if I took the Staten Island ferry and got off on Staten Island, it's not too far from there to
no,
yours.
It's
walkable.
It is. It's probably a 15-minute walk-ish. Also, there's a bus stop. Right in front of our place, which is awesome. And all buses go to and from the ferry. So even if you get on the wrong one,
we'll be out.
You're going to get it.
What's going on at Mugs?
Oh, Mugs actually, I'm not the event person of all events, but we've got the Ruination 10th anniversary next Tuesday. One of six barrels in New York, which, you know, Adobe Blues didn't snatch out of my hands.
How did you get that?
I have to really, I paid them extra. It's coming to that where you have to start, you know, paying these guys off. No, actually, we've got that happening Tuesday. We have 11th and 12th, I believe, if I'm correct. That's Saturday and Sunday. We have a rated A event. We're doing 20 rated A beers from Beer Advocate or ratebeer.com. Whichever one was higher is getting, you know, we've got 20 beers each day, Saturday and Sunday. And in October, we've got our 20th anniversary, which we're still trying to, you know, seal a date down, and we've got a beer being brewed by Brooklyn for us.
Nice. Congratulations, man. You've been a real important. You know, now when I go to Williamsburg, I hang out at Mugs. I like it there a lot.
I know, and I don't come to the city. That's the problem.
All right. And
I grew up right around the corner.
Ethan and Marcus, anything that's coming up at Rockaway Brewing besides the fact that you're new?
Besides that we're new and we're trying to get the ball is finally rolling and beer is starting to move out the door. Our big thing is we're finalizing our front space so that we can have a public face and start selling growlers.
And when will Rockaway the ESB be at Jimmy's number 43?
Oh, you beat me to that. You
knew what I was thinking. Actually, in September?
I will. Can I take the rest of the keg that's here right now? I'll pay cash.
See, we're fighting over it. And then the ultimate New York City beer fans, Sarah and Giancarlo from beerunion.net. What's the next bar you're going to go to for some beers?
We're taking a little break
from bars right now.
That's not encouraging. All right. And a couple other things you can go to on this Thursday, August 2nd, go to Beercraft. Say goodbye to longtime cellar manager Matt Barclay. He was on our show last week, and he's moving over to Sycamore, also in Brooklyn. August 6th is Gypsy Brewers and 12% Imports at Mission Dolores. Mission Dolores is an awesome bar. It's quirky. It's got always great beers. But check it out in Brooklyn. And Wednesday, August 8th, going to Queens, Sunswick, 3535 is Two Brothers Brewing Night. There's so many really great bars in New York City, and we're so proud that the goodbrewsteel.com is up to 41 bars right now. Excuse me. I'd like to thank our sponsors at greatbrewers.com who have helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Oh, wait. Beerunion.net, what's your special offer?
Oh, we have a really exciting giveaway going on starting today. Justin Phillips from Beer Table has offered us this really awesome prize. It's a family dinner night worth $200. What you can do is you can go to beerunion.net or beerunion.com, and at our, it all goes to the same place, and our top post right now is our Good Beer Seal recap. So comment on it with your favorite good beer seal bar and why. And one person will be chosen to win this family dinner worth $200, which is up to 8 people for food.
High five. That is awesome. Beerunion.net. Yeah. And again, thanks to everyone. We got Ethan and Marcus, Ed, Sarah, Giancarlo, and Ryan for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee and Brie O'Connor. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. Ooh. All right, guys, good show. Rock it out.
In some of my songs, I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. Champagne costs too much.